go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, welcome to the third day of January, 2020, we're off to a hell of a start to 2020. No surprise, I suppose, though, because, well, consider who's at the helm of the executive branch of the government of the United States. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, what the hell are we fighting for? 5, 6, 7, 8, open up them pearly gates. Yeah. Sparky reminded me of that song last night, shortly after the news broke, of what we will probably spend much of the evening talking about. Like I said, it's the third day of January, 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you will find us on the interweb tubes. That's, where, of course, where... if you've never picked out a screen name and a password before, you might want to do so and check in with the wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room in the hours in which this program is live from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. Right now, let's see here. Let me just refresh here. Yep, and if you do, House of Roberts and Squeaky are there to welcome you as an early arriver, and you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, a third stage guild navigator, has folded space today to become Man Cave. He is capably assisted by his trusty lieutenant, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. As Steve from Georgistan noted in the chat room moaning, ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee. Next stop is Iran. Oh, and the little maggots are in a hopping up and down frenzy of bloodlust. Of course, they're not exactly beating a hot path to the recruiting office to sign up. You know, that's for kids from the poverty draft to do. Because we got 3,000 troops on the way to the region, and this could get real ugly real quick. It entirely depends upon the actions of and the question of whether people are going to be rational about it. Now, we know that our side is not going to be rational about it because it's headed by a dimwit, a nitwit Nero, who apparently has had a hard-on for Qasem Soleiman for months. Well, yeah, a little hard-on, not a lot there. According to the strippers that he fucks, there's not a lot there to work with. But before I get ahead of myself and we get too far into the conversation, thanks are in order. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers for the third day of the month. That means thanks going out to John and Janice. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Jean and Ann across the pond. Thank you all so very much indeed. Thanks to Lady B for jumping in here to begin the evening. Thank you very kindly. And so the fundraising goal to begin the evening was $350. and now it's $340. Thanks to Lady B. And we have a challenge on the table. Courtesy of Rico in DeBerg. Rico sent me a note earlier. Subject line, Wag the Dog Challenge. Boy, I bet the Republicans wish they'd never come up with that, started beating on that drum way back when. Wag the Dog Challenge. Rico says, I'm putting up a $50 challenge in honor of Nitwit Nero's precipitous action to take out Qasem Soleimani and possibly lead us into war. Does anyone not think this was done to distract us from his impeachment and other assorted corruptions? Heaven help us all. And I don't think Rico would mind if I added a hearty fuck Trump into that. The Wag the Dog Fuck Trump Challenge is on the table. And if there are five people with $10 who want to see it each turn into 20 or some combination thereof, we can take $50 and turn it into 100, thanks to Rico. And that'll get us down to only $240 to go on the evening. And well, let's see, the other 40 would finish off yesterday, and then you see how it all works. So that's where it stands, and hopefully Rico's challenge will be met in short order, and we can go forward from there. What a mess! I had just gotten out of rehearsal last night, and I saw the news start going ping, 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 ping across my pocket computer, my mobile device. And I thought, oh, shit. Because that's we all know exactly what's going on here. There were further damning emails released. And the next thing you know, boom goes the dynamite. Or the Hellfire missile, or whatever it was we used. And it's not going to be... It's not going to be good, whatever it is. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. Forgot that part, didn't I? But we don't... Now, Iran has its say. And I don't know if anyone believes anything the United States is saying. Anyone who believes anything coming out of this administration, this regime, probably believes that with one more... You know, just one more deal that they can finally find that queen on the find that queen on the three card Monty board. We know who wasn't let in on this attack. Yeah, that would be the Gang of Eight. Nancy Pelosi. Moscow Mitch, who's the chair of, Nancy Pelosi, Moscow Mitch, Kevin McCarthy, Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, Devin Nunes, and over on the Senate side, Mark Warner is the ranking member on Senate Intelligence, and the Senate Intelligence Chair is, oh, goodness me, is it, no, it's not Thom Tillis, is it? No, it's that other North Carolina Republican senator, the one that the Mueller report noted leaked like a sieve. So, they didn't know. Now, Lindsey came out, not that way. Lindsey came right out and said, oh, I knew about it all along. Goodness me, I was getting ready for the barbecue down to Ashley's at 12 Oaks, and somebody come along and said, well, you know what?
your man crush Donnie has decided he's gonna have an Iranian assassinated. And Lindsay had to lie down for a little bit on the fainting couch. Had to have somebody bring him a mint julep and a Darvon.
Now Lindsay is the chair of the Judiciary Committee. He's not one of the people that is supposed to be consulted in the case of a president who decides to go to war. That's the aforementioned so-called Gang of Eight.
But Lindsay went and made a little trek down to Mar-a-Lago, and that's when he may have been let in on this little old adventure.
And I guess Kevin McCarthy was at Mar-a-Sleazo for New Year's Eve to do the bow and the scrape and the kowtow and the obsequies. He may have known. But this is a president who has decided to act as an autocrat, as a law unto himself, an absolute ruler. You know, the kind they've got in Iran. And so that's where we are. Lee in New York takes issue with my choice of words. May get ugly. Stop it, Bob. Stop it, Bob. That's an oblique, obligatory Star Trek reference. You know that the war starts with the first shot. Do you believe this drone attack in Iran will just be viewed as a random, insignificant event? If an important person in the U.S. got killed that way, would we let them call that an oopsie? No, we're not saying oopsie. Nitwit Nero is bragging about it.
He was the most dangerous man in the world, and only through my leadership.
Because it came out last night early on that this was upon direct orders of the President of the United States of America. The war starts with the first shot. But the problem, Lee, is figuring out what that first shot was. So there's a whole bunch that we don't know. But what we do know... Well, oh, man, that's just nasty, Brother Deacon Asa. Of course Lindsay knew. He was filleting Donnie's portobello even as Donnie was ordering the killing. No, Donnie, in all truth, venereal Vespasian was eating meatloaf and ice cream for dinner as this assassination went down. And make no mistake, it's an assassination. It's not like there was a battle. This was just a plain old fashioned assassination. And assassinations have a way of getting ugly real quick because they engender a desire in the people who just had their own assassinated to do some assassinating on their end. Yeah, David in South Carolina stands right. Just send an email. Hey, look, it's a win for Vlad, too. From Twitter, Julia Davis reporting, rising tensions between the U.S. and Iran have proven to be beneficial for the Russian stock market. Oil prices soared following the Soleimani killing, and the Moscow Stock Exchange reached an all-time high record level, rising to the highest point in its history. And even Russia noted that this was probably because of the impeachment. Only they said annihilation of the Iranian general, not assassination of the Iranian general. But I suspect that Iran will not retaliate immediately. Remember, the Iranians were civilized when the ancestors of most of America, white America at least, were still fighting with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want. Yeah, Richard Burr, thank you. Thank you kindly. Darlene in Connecticut, Richard Burr, Senate Intel Chair. Thank you. It's tough when the only thing you can come up with is not Thom Tillis. Right. But assassination is a nasty game. And they've been playing it for a while. And we're sort of clueless over there. The Persians have been civilized, like I said, for just about longer than anybody on the planet, depending on how you define it. And they are past masters. Remember, one of the successor empires to the Persian Empire was the Parthians, from whom we get the concept of the Parthian shot, which was the ability of their cavalry to ride at breakneck speeds and turn around and shoot their bows as they fled away from their attacker, and imposed massive, massive damage in that fashion, as the Romans learned, much to their chagrin, their horror. And by the way, I should mention that it is Friday on the front porch. So, frankly, we probably may have had a front porch if this hadn't happened on a Friday, but it is at least convenient. So if you'd like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, run on over to headon.live. The Skype link is there at the top of the page. Damn sound effects. And of course, it's worth remembering that for everything that Chlamydia Claudius does, there's a moment in time where he made himself a hypocrite in advance. Back in 2011, he was blaming Barack Obama for allegedly wanting to start a war in support of his reelection effort. Let's check in with that, shall we? Yeah.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran. Now, I'm more militant and more militaristic than the president. I believe in strength. But to start a war in order to get elected, and I believe that's going to happen, would be an outrage. Iran can be taken down in many ways. Their population is in turmoil. They look at what's happening in Syria and other countries where it looked like it was an impossibility, and it looks like that one's going to collapse also. So Iran can be taken. I would never take the military card off the table. And it's possible that it'll have to be used because Iran cannot have nuclear weapons. But you've got to exhaust other possibilities. And we're in a great position to do it. They know, or they at least must know, that they're in a little bit of heat because there's a lot of pressure to attack. This is a great time to negotiate. Unfortunately, we have a president that doesn't know the first thing about negotiation. We have a real problem in the White House. So I believe that he will attack Iran sometime prior to the election because he thinks that's the only way he can get elected. Isn't it pathetic? Well, they find.
Here's the funny part. Barack Obama didn't do that because he was monumentally more intelligent than Bang's strippers there. But he didn't just say it with a camera rolling. No, he preserved it for posterity.
on Twitter.
Don't let Obama play the Iran card in order to start a war in order to get elected. Be careful, Republicans. In order to get elected, Barack Obama will start a war with Iran. I always said that Barack Obama will attack Iran in some form prior to the election. Remember, and this is, you know, this is all 2012. That was 2011, the clip there.
Remember that I predicted a long time ago that President Obama will attack Iran because of his inability to negotiate properly, not skilled. Remember what I previously said, Obama will someday attack Iran in order to show how tough he is. In order to get elected, Barack Obama will start.
It's a whole tweet storm.
Now that Obama's poll numbers are in a tailspin, this is the best one. Now that Obama's poll numbers are in a tailspin, watch for him to launch a strike in Libya or Iran. He is desperate.
Oh, I mentioned, you know, the Gang of Eight not being notified. Lee notes by email, under the Gang of Eight system, the executive branch of the United States discloses highly sensitive intelligence information to the following members of Congress. Intel, Schiff and Nunez, House. Intel, Senate, Burr and Warner. Leadership, House, Pelosi and McCarthy. Leadership, Senate, McConnell and Schumer. Well, that didn't happen. And, of course, part of the reason it didn't happen was that it would have involved informing Adam Schiff. And he's put himself in a box, Trump has, in that regard, because he's...
That's Shifty Schiff. He's a crook. He's a dirty politician.
The question is, by not informing the Gang of Eight, is that a fresh impeachable offense? It very well might, or for that matter, is committing troops like this potentially an impeachable offense? Now, under the War Powers Act, I don't think so. But if it gets uglier and goes further, yeah, yeah. Oh, but so the Gang of Eight didn't get informed, but guess who did? Right, Psycho Bibi. Journalist Barak Ravid on Israeli Channel 13 said the United States informed Israel about the plan to assassinate Qasem Soleimani a few days ago. Reporting in the Los Angeles Times indicates that an Israeli army officer with knowledge of Israeli military assessments who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he didn't have permission to speak to reporters, said he was not surprised by the assassination of Soleimani. And then there's the clip from Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Golly, it's always a good one. Flavio with a note says, the Persians, they had indoor plumbing, running water, warm and cold long before Europe. Europeans were wearing skins and shitting in the woods with the bears when the Persians had hanging gardens, irrigation, paved streets, fine clothing, and massive street markets. I mean, it's undeniable. Now, the other thing that's going to be a problem for the maggots, especially a certain quarter of the maggots, a certain segment of the maggots, I think we know who I'm talking about. Well, generally speaking, the maggots get all hopping up and down excited, and they woo, going to go kill us some towel heads, going to get us some rag heads, some camel jockeys, whoo, going to go kill Haji. It's all out there. Won't take you a minute to find them doing it. Don't tell the maggots. But the Iranians is white folks. Yeah. kind of the original Aryans. Yeah. I mean, you've seen pictures of Qasem Soleimani. He has more in common with my appearance right now. Hi, Facebook video friends. He has more in common with my appearance than he does with, say, Mohammed bin Bonesaw. Yeah. And we all know that that certain segment of Trump's base has a real fondness for, you know, Aryans, the original Caucasians, people who migrated down out of the Caucasus Mountains oh so many thousands of years ago. You got to figure that's eventually going to be a problem. You know, for them. Because, you know, that whole region of the world is a melting pot of sorts.
By the way, thanks to Brother Deke and Asa for the 2011 clip. Gee whiz. So, like I said, we know on the one hand that this administration is so mendacious it cannot tell the same lie twice. And as much as he hates CNN, it was necessary for the comb-over Caligula regime to get Mike Pompeo. He graduated first in his class at West Point, remember? Daggone, I just love saying that. They got him out to talk to the for-profit media at CNN, where the following and before I play the clip, just a question: there are so many phrases that are coming back. It's almost like a revival, the way that, you know, clothing trends will reappear after having been gone for a long time, and the next thing you know, little 14-year-old girls are running around dressing like Madonna again or something like that. Well, there's some 17-year-old, 18-year-old language out there. Funny, the language is about the same age as the kids that we may ask to die in this misadventure. Poverty draft conscripts, kids from the barrio, kids from the hood, kids from the holler, who saw the military as the only way out. Yeah, don't worry, there won't be anybody whose last name is Trump or Kushner at risk in this potential coming filthy little bloodbath. No. It'll be Eduardo's and Ramon's, Billy Bob's, Felicia's and Juanita's, Javon's, you know. Because that's who we have go and do our killing and dying for us. But I'm so old I can remember when Dim Leader's administration, and remember, for the sake of perspective, we would do well to recall that the only reason this is happening is because back in 2002, this country let itself be hoodooed. Hoodoo-dood. Da-doo-doo-doo, da-da-da-da.
into thinking, well, we've got to fight him over there so we won't have to fight him here. And besides, he tried to kill my daddy.
And that was the beginning of this destabilization, which persists and bedevils us to this day. And back then, we were told things like what I just mentioned. Hey, we got to fight him over there so we don't have to fight him over here. And kind of sleazy rice goes great with kind of sleazy chicken. I remember, what was that that she said? We can't wait for the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. Remember that? God, all of a sudden, 17, 18 years ago, feels like yesterday. And there were things like we will be welcomed as liberators. That's already been more or less repeated by Mike Pompeo. He graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh, yeah. Didn't learn much. Sure didn't learn much about military history. Didn't learn much about world history. No. But they trotted him out today to talk on CNN. And it was like a blast from the past. It was like hearing Colin Powell or kind of sleazy Rice or Count Dicula or Scooter Libby or that guy who put his comb in his mouth to do his hair. Why do I always forget him, his name? Or Donald Rumfield, or any of that gang of war criminals who told massive lies about what was going on in Iraq and tried to elide Iraq with the cause and the commission of the attacks of September 11th, 2001, when everybody with two working brain cells to rub together knew that Iraq had a damn thing to do with September 11th, 2001. But still we got, yeah, fuck Saddam, we're going to take him out. Patricia over in the Facebook chat says, Trump doesn't care when video, audio, or pictures of him come to surface. He still acts as if he never said, did, or fucked it up. Well, that's a part of his psychopathology. So here we go. Mike Pompeo, that proud first in his class kid from West Point. Wolfowitz, thank you, Lee. Come on, Mike, you can do it. I'm a little slow today. Yeah, that's it. Paul Wolfowitz groomed himself with his own spittle.
We needed a strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
A specific target overseas?
I'm not going to say anything more about the nature of the attack, but know that this was not just in Iraq. It was throughout the region. It was using these proxy forces that he has manipulated for so long to bring so much destruction to the Shias and Sunnis, the Muslims throughout the region. This is a man who inflicted enormous harm not only on American lives, but created terribly destructive activities supporting Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, all of the bad actors.
Again, notice the fast talking.
At the center of all of it.
Was there any imminent threat to the U.S. homeland?
These were threats that were located in the region.
And when I ask about the timing, the reason I am asking is because General Soleimani, as you well note, has been an enormous threat to the United States and U.S. interests for decades. I was in Iraq between 2003 and 2008 when he was responsible for the death of probably 600 or more U.S. servicemen. So what is different, or what was different yesterday than over the last 15 years?
Well, you see there, Bill, what happened yesterday was some more evidence came out of the fact that my boss is running a criminal enterprise out of the Oval Office. So we had to come up with something on the double quick, and we'd been working on this, you know, for just that reason for a while. So we said, fuck it, let's take him out. It didn't quite come out that way.
Well, John, you're right about the history of General Soleimani, for sure. What's
for
different
sure,
today is that Iran has now been engaged for months and managed dozens and dozens of attacks throughout the region. President Trump's shown enormous restraint to date. While we've made clear to the Iranians that we weren't going to tolerate the killing of Americans on
Yeah, so there's your problem. He admitted in front of live cameras that there was absolutely no threat to the United States whatsoever. And then he comes up with this bullshit string of, Hamas, Hezbollah, Bruga Bruga. Snarf. Evil man. Worf. It doesn't wash. But the American people, we do love us some killing. And odds are this will have its intended effect. Baghdadi asks Randy in PA, because Nitwit Nero referenced him earlier.
I also ordered the killing of al-Baghdadi.
You know, he's the brother-in-law of George Baghdadi, al-Baghdadi. Son of Harry Baghdadi. Randy and PA says, are we really supposed to believe this horse shit? Well, they would take it very kindly if you would. Darlene with a note, no one named Trump will go to war. Especially no one named Tiffany Trump, lest she be dethroned, disinherited by Daddy Trump. Of course, Daddy probably thinks she's too fat to don a military uniform anyway. Remember, the child support agreement says that she loses all of her child support if she ever does anything so wacky as to serve her country. Because remember, Trumps don't serve America. America serves Trumps. Ron and Raleigh with a good question. Projection much? Bob, I'd like to know how Iran became the bad guys. The U.S. overthrows the democratically elected prime minister, Mossadegh, 1953, putting in place a filthy, murdering dictator named Reza Pahlavi, who tortured and killed his citizens for 30 years. When Reza split for the U.S., concerned citizens thought that the U.S. was going to install another dictator. So they kidnapped our embassy personnel. After 444 days, they sent every one of the detainees home unscathed. In the 1980s, a U.S. warship shoots down a commercial Iranian jetliner, killing over 240 civilians. Now the U.S. kills a high Iranian official with no evidence that he was doing a goddamn thing to justify his assassination. John Bolton wants regime change, which I believe will be as successful as regime change in Iraq. We can't seem to pull our heads out of our collective asses to realize we're the damn bad guys. Hard to argue with Ron's reasoning. And John Bolton, he doesn't just want war with Iran. He wants to nuke Iran. That's why, how the other night Darlene and I were talking and I posited the theory that because he is wrong about so many things so often, that maybe that's the reason Barack Obama chose Joe Biden as his running mate. Anything Joe Biden wanted to do, Barack Obama knew that he could do the other thing and it would be right.
Well, you've got that in terms of projection out of Donald Trump. So today when he walked out and burbled into the microphone,
he said, "We do not desire regime change in Iran."
Which is a lead pipe cinch certainty that that's exactly what's being discussed. But Jesus, you don't want to, oh no, America, you don't want to think what would be involved with an invasion of Iran. Flavio says, it will be interesting when American soldiers fighting in Iran realize they're fighting other blonde, redheaded, blue-eyed people in Iran. It'll be downright confusing. Especially for the white supremacists and the Nazis who are allowed to infect the ranks of our military. Leah, New York, Al Baghdadi, Bob, isn't that the patriarch of the Bundy clan when married with children was recast in the Middle East? Yeah, right. Yeah. And exactly what I was thinking. Al Baghdadi, shoe salesman. James in Illinois says, if Americans need killing, we kill them. Hot damn. Ye bitchy. Yeah, Spitcomb guy, Paul Wolfowitz. Thanks to Flavio and Lee for the reminder. But they'll be hopping up and down, and the maggots will, and their bloodlust will know no bounds. And it kind of made me wonder where the Got a Brain Morans guy is out somewhere near St. Louis. Is he still there? Has he retired from being a stupid right winger? Or will he show up again with his Get a Brain Morans sign? Jesus. Oh, and need to send out some thanks. Thank you, Yuki. Thank you very, very kindly. Yuki just answered Rico's challenge in the Berg, so that means we've only got $240 to go to finish the week. $40 to finish last night and $200 to finish this evening. Thank you, Yuki. Thank you so very kindly indeed. That is tremendous. So, Randy in PA says, what goes around comes around. I'm a firm believer in that. That's because it keeps proving itself so applicable. And Iran has a lot of choices. Remember the drone storm? Yeah. Or maybe they could have somebody do something in Lebanon. Or in Iraq or Yemen. Who knows where? But here's the funny thing about, we stopped a threat because we knew about the threat and we acted to it. Unless General Soleimani was going to carry out the threat himself, which seems highly unlikely, then we have not negated the threat, have we? Maybe we heard something, maybe there was some chatter, but we haven't, because his second in command, his right hand man, has already stepped into the breach and said that American coffins will be dotting the region. And unlike Iraq, Iran may be able to follow through on that. If I was Mohammed bin Bonesaw or any of his kinfolk, I think I'd be shitting kittens with crocheted tails right now, because it's a lot easier for the Iranians to go after Saudis than it is to go after anybody on American soil. Yeah. But don't rule out the possibility that they may go after somebody on American soil. There's some crafty devils. Because something that should be borne in mind is that they do have this sense of proportionality. We assassinated the number two most popular man in Iran. He had a cult of, cult of personality. He was viewed as a future potential leader of the entire country. He had a pretty good meme game too. Part of the reason he pissed off Donald Trump is he mocked him and made fun of him on social media. He posted a graphic of the White House exploding with a superimposed picture of himself standing in front of it. But he was both a military and a political and a cultural figure. What kind of response would that, do you think, engender? Oh, and hey, thanks to Cletus. I just saw that Cletus went and took us down to 2:30. Cletus went out and dug around in the rain and found a bone. Thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy. Thank you so much. So we're down to 2:30. That's awesome. Irwin says the recruitment age for Trump supporters is age 17 with parental consent, 18 without adult consent, to a maximum age of 35, can shoot an assault rifle all they want with adult supervision. Hey, that means Elwick, you know, Beavis, is eligible. Yeah, don't look for any maggots to be signing up anytime soon, or any of that miserable, disgusting family. Don't look for any other maggot. No. They'll sit back and watch. They'll mourn when our family members start coming home in boxes. And they'll send lots and lots of thoughts and prayers. Because that's what they do best, thoughtin' and prayerin'. And he loves to talk big, Julius Geezer does. And just for the sake of posterity, let's check in on that.
Citizens, last night at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani.
Notice how he got a promotion. He's the number one terrorist anywhere in the world now. When in fact he was an Iranian military leader. But for the sake of the maggots, he's got to tell, he was a terrible, dangerous terrorist. He was a terrorist. And I guess technically he is because, well, we said so. But God, the flashbacks, I mean, it's like bad acid or something. The flashbacks to 2003 just won't quit. I saw where that, you know, we all get so much pleasure out of watching the never Trump Republican Rick Wilson skewer Geezer Disgustus. But there he was last night, as reliable as could be. You know, once a warmonger, always a warmonger. Declaring that Qasem Soleimani was, it's a quote, mind you, unequivocally evil. Now, either Rick Wilson doesn't know what unequivocally means, which I would be surprised to find out, or he was just willing to tell an outright lie, because there were millions of people all over Iran and in throughout the Middle East region and into the Levant who did not see Qasem Soleimani as unequivocally evil, but instead saw him as a hero figure, as a man to be respected and revered, a Saladin for the modern age. Because he had for over 20 years done some fairly amazing things militarily. And he was absolutely a scourge to ISIS, Daesh. And arguably, while we had to hustle out the, you know, he kind of helped kill 600 American soldiers a while back. The fact of the matter is, the ISIS and Daesh people that he killed could arguably be said to have benefited the United States, because that meant that they weren't killing, you know, us or our allies. Unequivocally evil. That means everybody knew that this guy was evil. And it's just not true. But there's one of those never Trumpers out there. Engaging his bloodlust. Talking like Republicans always talk. Tough, 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 tough. Yeah, back to Chlamydia Claudius.
Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel, but we caught him in the act and terminated him.
And that's the part where it all falls apart. They killed the mastermind, okay. But the plans are already in place. So what, this discourages Iran from going forward on them? He's trying to make like we knew something that we probably didn't know as a justification for an assassination. You reckon he's shitting himself right now? Reckon anybody has come to him and said, you know, when you start taking out the high-ranking leaders of other countries start thinking maybe they've got the right to take out your ass? Now, Agent Fred, don't get your maiden forms in a bunch. I'm just talking about the overall overarching strategic tactical possibilities. That's all. But the justification doesn't hold water. Because whatever they had planned, they can go through with now. And where before they would have had a thin case, the Iranians, for why they did it, now they can go forward with the plans that were already in place, slaughter some people, and say, hey, we did it because the United States assassinated one of our most beloved leaders. But we don't think that way very well.
Any minute now, I expect a tweet calling the French cheese-eating surrender monkeys, because France made a statement this morning saying that today, after this, the world is less safe. And, you know, it's easier to get from Iran to France than it is Iran to the United States, so France kind of has a right to share its thinking on this. NATO allies were not consulted. Just Psycho Bibi, who probably just laughed maniacally. Yeah, do it. What this winds up doing is it proves that his mind is as disordered as we have thought it to be.
Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you. We will eliminate you. We will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds Force under Soleimani's leadership has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket strikes that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly.
I love the fact that he has to add that very badly. It's not enough that American service personnel were injured. Very badly. As if there's some sort of metric that justifies assassination based upon the degree of injury. Hey, God.
As well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been...
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's reign of terror is just beginning. And I'm sorry, maybe it's because I've got a working, functioning moral center and an ethical core. And maybe it's because I understand that when we look at things as starkly black or white dualities, that's how we get ourselves in some of the worst trouble. When I heard about how he killed thousands of innocent civilians, I'm sorry. The first person I thought of was Dick Cheney and W. Because part of the reason that some people in Iraq still hate us, a lot of people in Iraq still hate us, is because beginning in 2003, George W. Bush, at the urging of Dick Cheney and all the other chicken hawk Republicans of that day, started a war that killed 1 million innocent Iraqi civilians. Men, women, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, daddies, pregnant women who, if they were in the United States carrying a fetus, the Republican Party would move heaven and earth to make sure the baby got born. But born babies in Iraq were damned well part of the million innocents who were slaughtered there by George W. Bush and on the word, his word, and that of Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Kinda Sleazy Rice and Colin Powell and the rest of the entire filthy cabal. Yeah, Haley, this has got a real flashback Friday flavor to it, doesn't it? Stand by. I just wanted to check and see who was on the stress line. Let me go ahead and, because we're at the top of the hour. And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, where's Mike Pansy Pence in all of this? Is he hiding in a nondescript bunker with our leader, Mark Levin? Is Mother present? Well, Mother only has to be there if it turns out that there's another, you know, unmarried female in the room. Remember? Okay, so I'm connected there. Let's get Friday on the Front Porch started. Kyle's with us over on the stress line. Hey, Kyle.
Okay, I hate to go here because this is a big charge, but the definition of terror is killing people for political gain, power, etc. We did that. Does that make us the terrorists in this situation?
That's the thing. If you apply non-Orwellian language, sure it does.
And I hate to think of our country that way because, well, I love this country, but, I mean, look what we've done in the Middle East again. Again.
Right. And we don't know where it's going to go. Jesus, this had no sooner, I don't know if you noticed, but this had no sooner been announced on social media than World War III started trending as a fucking hashtag.
Well, you get Israel involved and you get all the, you know, the crazy religious fucks over there, and God knows what can happen. They want to get at Iran's throats for fucking ever.
The Saudis would never use this to their advantage, would they?
No, hell no.
I mean, they're such nice people.
Fuck no. Yes. Yeah. So, religious World War III, yeah, that's good. And we're only, 4 days into the new year? Jesus Christ.
Three.
Happy New Year, I guess.
Went down on the second, so we made it all of not quite 2 days into 2020 before shit started blowing up. Yay us.
Christ.
Yeah, I don't even know if he would help. But see, that's part of the problem. You got assholes like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America there, who's saying, yeah, I'll tell you, it's a good thing we killed that fucker, you know. And you know that the only reason he's all excited is he thinks that this is finally going to be the magic confrontation that makes Jesus come down out of the clouds in his holy rolls, and all the Christians are going to get to start killing Jews.
That's exactly what scares the shit out of me about Israel getting involved, because they believe that shit.
Well, not the Jesus part. The problem with Israel in this is that they are so utterly clueless of fervent, frothing at the mouth, rabid right-wing Christianity that they don't understand that the reason the evangelicals support them is that someday they hope to kill them.
That's what I'm saying. You get Israel involved in this war, oh hell, it's a dominionist fantasy.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, and as I've said for so long, Kyle, the problem is, and I don't care if it's Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Jains, Hindus, I don't know if there are fundamentalist Zen Buddhists, but if there are, they're the problem too. It's not the individual faith system, it's the fundamentalism.
Yep. You can't talk them down. They're the chosen ones, all that shit. And they should be the only ones on the earth, you know?
And it would be good to remember that crazy-ass right-wing Christians are not the only ones with messianic fantasies. Crazy-ass right-wing Muslims have it, too. He's called the Mahdi, or the Mehdi. And
yep, religion.
And he's the second coming of somebody, and he comes back and slaughters people like crazy. And they all just sit there and get into these masturbatory blood fantasies of who their returning savior's gonna kill.
Religion and money are the root of all evil. Well, people using religion for that purpose, I guess, would be a better way to say it.
Well, just remember, a religious guy said the love of money is the root of all evil, while he probably had his hand in the collection plate.
Let me guess, he was probably one of those televangelist fuckers.
No, it was an Old Testament prophet.
Well, okay, he's not necessarily wrong, but still.
Same grift, different millennium.
Yes. Yep.
Well, stick around. Let me bring the other. Let me bring the rest of the Friday on the Front Porch crowd in.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob.
All right.
That's all right. That's okay. Hey, Steve, what's happening?
I see what you did there. I'm doing good. Where's Mr. Duncan at?
I reckon he's there, but I heard your voice first, so I just went to you.
Oh, well, that's cool. You can bring him in first. That's protocol, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is.
Well, he breaks protocol all the time.
Protocol was made to be broken.
Protocol, schmodocol. But has anybody thought of this angle? And you may have mentioned it, Bob. I've been kind of in and out. Karen's been calling me. John Pornstash Bolton may have finally said to Trump, hey, you know, I will refuse to testify in your impeachment if you'll go after Iran.
I pondered that earlier. That is not a crazy thought. It's, you know, okay, you want me to keep my mouth shut? Here's the price.
No.
I mean, he says that to Nitwit Nero. Hey, dumbass, you want me to keep my mouth shut? Here's the price. War with Iran.
He's had a hard on for Iran for God, what, 20, 30 years?
Well,
now,
Republicans have. You know, John McCain's nice and cold in the grave now, but you got to remember that he was standing in the well of the Senate going, bomb, 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 bomb Iran, my friends. I mean, I remember when I was a little baby gospel DJ way back in the early 80s, and there was actually a very popular parody song that was done to the tune of Barbara Ann. It was bum, bum, bum,
oh, yeah.
Bum, bum, Iran. Bum, 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 Obama Ran, we'll take your land.
And Bob's going to sing some more if you don't send some money.
Yeah, damn Skippy. 2:30 to go.
Make him quit singing.
Precisely. Hey, yeah, I got no shame.
You know, I always pull Metal Boone out of her back pocket if you really want to raise some funds.
Oh, Jesus.
No, man. No Metal Boone, please.
But I mean, the larger point is very real.
Yep.
Republicans, conservatives, whatever you want to call them, have had a hard-on for war with Iran for in excess of a generation.
And now they know they got Nitwit Nero in a box, and they're going to take advantage of that.
Well, sure. It's the same thing that happened with W. You know, bin Laden tried to get Clinton to take the bait with the first attempted bombing of the World Trade Center. And he didn't take the bait. But they knew that with a bloodthirsty little warmonger like W and the people around him, that it would be like taking falafel from a baby.
It's a perfect storm. You got a guy who's getting impeached and wants to change the narrative and get his poll numbers up. He's too stupid to realize how he's being used, and now what?
Well, that's the real question, I think. Will this finally get him above 50% approval? Because he's never been there yet.
I think we're in a hell of a mess.
Americans are too stupid. As soon as they see a war, the stupid people are like, hey, yeah, look at him being strong.
Well, and who is this speaking now?
That's Kyle. That's Kyle from Kentucky
Stan. Hey, Kyle. Nice to meet you, my friend. Steve from Georgia Stan.
How are you? How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Doing good, brother. If you want to hear stupid people, if you're ever up early, turn on Washington Journal at 7 a.m. and, you know, it'll fit the bill. You wonder, my God, how did these people learn how to breathe?
My head about exploded when I heard the one lady called in and thanked Russia for hacking the election to keep Hillary from getting elected. Jesus Christ. That's about all I can
So you've experienced it then, Kyle. Okay.
Yes, I have.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm sorry, man.
God.
It's
I can't believe we share a country with some of these people.
Well, the thing is, I got a clip here, and I'll have to translate because it won't go through to the Skype group. You might be able to hear it, Kyle. Everybody on Facebook and the regular stream will be able to hear it. The right wingers are going out of their minds. Like I said, in a masturbatory frenzy over this. Let's see. There's some dude out there, Buck Sexton.
Oh, no.
2020 is definitely starting off with a bang. And then there's Bill Mitchell. We've had clips of him on the program. You want to know what else was risky? D-Day. Thank God Eisenhower was in charge and not Biden.
What? Edith,
what the
huh?
fuck? What the hell?
And then, and of course, I mean, all this just muscular testosterone-laden the dick measuring that goes on the right. Bill Mitchell also said, what did Iran learn today? One, that President Trump doesn't care about their threats. Two, that President Trump doesn't care what the American media thinks. It's think, Bill, not thinks. Media is a plural word, you fucking idiot. Three, that President Trump doesn't care what the Democrats think. Four, don't fuck with President Trump.
Oh, like we're owning the libs again to start a war. Jeez, goddamn Christ.
Right. let's see. CNBC put up a stupid headline. America just took out the world's number one bad guy.
See, the media fucking plays along with this shit again. God damn it.
And then there was another right-wing idiot who said... This was some idiot right wing maggot woman who said, "Don't mess with our embassy buttholes." And Kurt Schlichter said, "Well, Donald Trump certainly gave those sons of bitches something to mourn about." It goes on and on and on. Ben Shapiro, who should be signing up any minute now, even as we speak, but won't because he's a chicken shit, of course, and a chicken hawk. And then this is probably my favorite. Again, the folks in the Skype chat won't be able to hear this, but everybody else will be. Sorry. This is little Josh Bernstein. This is the guy who said that he wants people to kill cops if anybody ever comes for their guns, and he's feeling terribly studly today.
They're all afraid of President Trump because he, unlike Bambi Obama, the mom jean wearing little piss ant that we had for 8 years, President Trump puts his money where his mouth is. He'll drop the mother of all bombs if he has to. He will do surgical strikes when he has to. And yes, he sent in over 100 security officers because he knew that he had to. Because he's decisive and he makes quick decisions. And thank goodness he does. But you know what? The Democrats, they don't care. Because the Democrats are rooting against America. That's right.
Yeah, that's... You know. The Democrats are rooting. Democrats are rooting against America. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
You're either for us or against the shit again. God damn it! Everything old is new again.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry. I'm sorry. The Skype gang couldn't hear that, but Basically, you know, he said, oh, Donald Trump is decisive. Yeah, I guess Donald Trump's decisive, if by decisive you mean willing to start a war to save his own ass because he's been impeached and he's scared to death and he knows how goddamn guilty he is. Yeah, that's pretty damn decisive, right?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Who's this?
Steve, New York.
Oh, hey, Steve. I didn't recognize you. You got a little room noise there. Didn't quite.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Are you in the office?
Yeah, I'm in the office. Yeah. I just emailed you yesterday. It was my birthday, and I thought, great. I get to be remembered as the day I was born on the day that, or my 49th birthday was the day that we killed.
Well, it was the day that Donald Trump tried to start World War III.
Yeah. You know what? I was just thinking about that. So I thought old Al Baghdadi Jr., you know, Al Baghdadi Sr.'s boy, was...
yeah, they lived down next to the Conoco station.
Yeah. I thought that was the biggest bad guy there is.
Well, he was. He was until Soleimani.
Can I... You know, I just got to tell you, I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted at this shit.
Oh, I know.
It's just like... What, and I posted something somewhere, unless I'm dreaming, is what is our bloodlust? What the
we've always had it, Steve. Make no mistake, it's been with us from jump. I mean, it's tied to our slaughter of the indigenous people here. It's tied to the inherent violence of the South. I'm in the middle of reading this history of Congress between 1820 and 1860. And it was a free for all. It was a nonstop, bloodthirsty fracas. And the only reason we seem to think that there's anything new about it is because so many of us don't know about it. Does that make sense?
Sure, but I mean it's just like, you know. And I what I can't get out of my head, and I'll start my story with describing. When we killed bin Laden, is all these people on, you know, on Facebook, and I remember this one person who claimed every third word out of her mouth was God and Jesus, this and that, and she puts that right after it, she puts some quote unquote prayer for, you know, thankful for killing someone. And I said, wait a second, whatever happened to praying for your enemies and loving those who persecute you? And she says, what are you talking about? That's just crazy. And I thought, oh, really, Miss Christian?
Yeah, Christianity. Well, yeah. Don't try playing that Christianity shit with an evangelical Christian, because their Jesus carries an AR-15, not a cross. Yeah. You know.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've said this a lot, and I am not a quote unquote defender of Catholicism or the Catholic Church, but I'll tell you, the official position / teaching, I'm going to be honest with you, and you know, let's notwithstanding 1,000 years ago with the Crusades, etc., and some of it, but the official teaching, not, you know, again, notwithstanding the actions of the clergy all the way up to the Pope, I didn't learn about this in detail until listening to you. That there is this. I mean, what I grew up was the praying for your enemies stuff. And the reason I know I grew up, not really grew up, but grew up religiously with that. And the reason I remember growing up with it, because it sounded so freaking weird. I'm like, what? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it almost annoys me. The love your enemies, pray for those. I almost find it infuriating. But I, you know, and again, it's, you want, I please understand, I'm not, this is not a commercial for the RCC. But there is not a doctrinal tradition of this. There just isn't.
No,
And I'm separating the actions. I want people to understand that. There's been plenty of things that are just reprehensible that the church has done and probably continues to do, but I don't know. It's alien to me. And I have I have discussions with a very good friend of mine who's, you know, as I've you know, lost my faith, but I've had these conversations with him, and he is constantly trying his best and even in agony living up to that standard.
Losing my religion.
But I am not this evangelical justification for this. I don't get it. It's never been
I know this is going to seem like it's a diversion or a tangent off of what you're saying, but consider another piece of breaking news that came out today. The United Methodist Church just agreed.
I saw that.
To schism itself.
It's schism.
Yeah, they agreed to.
From what?
Well, because there are some Methodists out there who just can't love Jesus if there are gay people in the church loving Jesus too.
Jesus Christ.
And so they're going to split the United Methodist Church and allow the haters and the bigots and the people who are living in direct contravention of the teachings of Jesus Christ to split away and form their own denomination. And the United Methodist Church is telling them that they can keep all their own buildings and that their ministers can keep their pensions. And on top of it all, the United Methodist Church is going to give them $25 million to get started with.
Bob, haven't they always been a duplicitous organization?
Well, some more so than others. You know, I guess because I'm a hardliner.
I mean, some are really fundamental. Some are.
Well, but that's not the Methodist Church, okay? Remember, when the 8 campaign had an office in D.C., we were living in the basement of the Methodist building. And this is a building that puts up signs like Jesus would not put children in cages.
Yes, I'll have to convert to Unitarianism.
But God forbid the queers want to love somebody.
Yeah, right.
Good. Jesus Christ.
These sick bigots can't even be in the same church with a gay person.
They're going to catch the gay, Bob.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's virulent. You know, one minute you're a straight guy going to a Methodist church, and the next thing you know, you're in the Castro district in San Francisco with a flamingo pink marabou. You know.
Excuse me, guys. Can you keep this on the wraps? This is on the gay agenda. Hello.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Under wraps.
Well, big cowbell for Steve.
My wife, Karen, wanted to say hi to Steve.
Hello, Karen.
She likes when you talk, you know.
Oh, we love Miss Karen. She's an angel.
Yeah, she's good people. She really is. How she wound up with the likes of me, Christ, I'll never know.
You know, just
you're pretty good people yourself.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Thanks. I think
it was probably your guitar picking skills.
Could have been.
And by the way, Steve, in New York, Steve, you got a message from Lady B. Hey, Steve, in New York, I turned 51 on the 1st. Merry Christmas. Here's your birthday present to fellow holiday birthday sufferer.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys a story. And this is like big old fucking ray of sunshine. I don't celebrate my birthday. I can remember four birthdays. My 3rd birthday, my 12th birthday, my 21st birthday, and my 40th birthday. And my 3rd birthday is I stopped celebrating it because we were supposed to have a party. And I remember this very vividly, 46 years ago. And my uncle and my cousins never showed up. And ever since then, it's just not been a big deal for me. And my 40th was a disaster because I was like, oh my God, I'm 40 and I'm nothing but a piece of shit. So,
you know, I think the one I remember more than any other is my 10th, because my mother came home from the hospital on the 10th, on my 10th birthday.
When is your birthday, Bob?
Last day of this month.
So, what month are we in? Oh, January.
No shit. So you'll be in Alabama doing your...
No. I'll be back home by then.
Oh, okay, good.
It's only through the 17th, Steve. You got to read 19th. The top of the
whole thing. I know. I'm not that bright, Steve.
Stop it. I don't like it. I'm going to preach here for 2 seconds.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't say shit bad about yourself. And the reason you don't, there's plenty of people out there that want to do that. Don't help them.
Thanks, brother.
Very true.
No wonder Karen likes him. Christ. So, Bob, what are you doing? A reenactment of the Kincaid migration, or
no? It's a play. Fairly famous play. And I'm
are you going to film it and post it, or is it very
private? I can't post it, but. There, I might be able to make it possible. Maybe we'll have a viewing at the, if it's worth viewing. I hope it will, but.
Yeah, is it Shakespeare?
No,
it's
called The Lion in Winter. It's by James Goldman. He wrote it in the early 60s. It was made into a movie with Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn, among others. And it centers on the family of Henry II of England, who is anticipating his own demise. He's 50 years old, and he's trying to fit, and they're fighting over who is going to succeed him as King of England.
And may I ask what character you're playing, or is that too personal?
No, I'm playing Henry.
God damn, Bob. Mr. Kincaid doesn't screw around, you know.
And so, we've been rehearsing every night. We've had a little bit of bad luck because it's been hard to get the whole cast together every time because the holidays are a lousy time to try to put up a show because everybody's got family shit and they're going out of town and yada yada yada.
So how did you obtain a soundstage from a high school? Or
it's not a soundstage. It's a community theater.
Nice. With its own mixing board and everything? So.
No. This is a live play, Steve.
I understand that, but you still have to be able to broadcast sound and have everything mixed correctly. Or...
No.
You're just speaking out to the audience like they did back in...
Real theater.
Back in the day. Yep.
Yep.
Well, that's great, Bob. I would like to, if you can make a copy of that, I'd love to have it.
Well, like I said, we're going to try to record one of the dress rehearsals and have that for a sort of an archive.
But it's all being
done in memory of a dear friend of a bunch of us because he loved that play so much. We're doing it in his memory.
If you didn't do it as like a dress rehearsal, you'd have all kind of copyright infringements. Is that what you're
concerned? No. I can't. No. I mean, I there'd be all kinds of rights problems anyway. I can't put it up for people to just watch it because
that's a damn shame, man.
Well,
but it's good. You guys have put a lot of work into this thing.
But the thing is, it's terribly gratifying because my friend loved this play so much, and it's good to sort of call him to memory and have his memory there with us in the theater as we're pulling it together. And I love it too. And he and I would sit there and watch the movie together over the years. And scream the lines at each other.
Man, costuming and all that, you guys got your hands full with this thing, don't you?
Well, it's going to be a very low-budget production. It's a very small community theater, and it's gonna rely on the imagination of the audience. That's the way theater works. It, you know, everything is not flashy CGI effects. You go to see the people. You go to see people bring roles, characters to life.
Well, that's really cool, brother. Break a leg, man.
And so it runs from the Thursday the 16th to a Sunday matinee the 19th, and then I head for home.
Well, maybe not. Maybe you'll have to do an encore week or something.
That'd oh, no, cool. I don't think anybody could do that, and there's another play moving into the theater the minute we get the set down.
I gotcha. Okay, well, break a leg, my friend.
Well, thank you for and thank you for saying break a leg. Because the worst thing you want to do is wish anybody any of that L-U-C-K stuff. That's a curse.
Okay, I got you. Okay, yep. Well, I'm going to stand by my break a leg thing then.
Absolutely, I appreciate that. And so that's why, you know, that's why that week, the 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th, the 13th to the 17th, that'll be tech and dress rehearsal and performance week, and that's why there's not going to be any programs here. And that's why I've broken away a little bit. And that's why I've broken away a little bit early from the program recently, is to get to the theater and maximize the amount of time that we have in rehearsal.
Nice. Well, if you need to skedaddle tonight, you know, we can understand.
Well, I might
do what you got to do.
Let's see. I might, you know, I might boogie in about an hour. That would put me in the theater right on
7:30. Time. 7:30. Nice, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
It's fun, but it's a lot of work, and it's exhausting, and I'm going to be just like emotionally devastated by the time that it's over, because it takes a lot of energy and determination and dedication, and but I do love it. I'm proud
to be a part of that number.
Oh though. Yeah, and absolutely. it's a perfect role. It's a perfect role for me to play at this age. There's a line where he says, "Good God, I'm 50 years old. I'm the oldest man I know. I've got 10 years on the Pope."
That should be awesome. Yeah, I want a bootleg copy. That's
it. And he says another time. He says, "I've snapped and plotted all my life. There's no other way to be alive and 50 and a king all at once." And it's glorious. I love it.
It's hard to beat Peter O'Toole in anything.
Oh no, you can't try to beat you go into a role like this, and you have to put that kind of stuff out of your mind, so that hopefully you can make the role. You can make the role. You've got to try to make the role your own. And you know that's why the beard, for the Facebook crowd, and the mustache. And unfortunately, back in early October, when things were going completely sideways, I was growing my hair out at the time. And that's what I really wanted. I wanted hair down to my shoulders. And I was all stressed out. We remember what was going on back then. And I just went to the barber and said, "Give me a fucking haircut, please." So the beard has come in adequately and decently, but I don't have the Viking gone to seed hair that I was looking for. But that's okay.
Well, this sounds like a very effective sabbatical for you.
No, it's not been a sabbatical. Obviously, I've been on the air all the time. So you know, I'm doing this and going to rehearsal and.
So you're meaning me wrong. I guess I should have said a mental sabbatical.
Maybe. Yeah. It's more like it's just been an added on. And because I'm an hour behind here in the Central Time Zone, it makes it possible to get to rehearsal and get all this stuff done.
Nice.
And so I don't know, maybe on the really, really down low, we'll have a viewing of the rough cut. The rough video at the Horn Inn in June.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So are you allowed to make a what you consider to be the best cut and preserve that?
Man, we're just going to shoot it once. I mean, it's going to be what it is.
Yep.
But I'll try to make sure there's halfway decent audio and some decent camera angles. And it's been a little rough these last couple of days because the woman who plays Eleanor opposite my Henry has been out with 102 degree fever.
Oh, it's going around, man.
And by all means, you know, and this applies. And our director said, listen, if you start feeling bad, don't come. Do not come here and get the rest of the cast sick because
that's even worse. It's up and down the East Coast. It really is. And it's hitting people hard. It hits their stomach, their chest. I mean, and I don't think it's the flu because I've good friends of mine have had the flu shot and still get bit by whatever the hell this is, you know.
Well, remember, the flu shot doesn't protect against all strains of flu. We got kind of bit in the ass with that last year. They guessed wrong on the flu strains, and so not as many people were protected last year as they had hoped to have.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
This is Gary. Hey, Gary. In Illinois.
Hey, Gary.
How's it going, guys?
Going good, yeah. Brother.
The flu around here is so bad, the local hospital
still there, Gary?
Pandemic, they have so many.
You broke up, my friend.
Okay, yeah, our local hospital here shut off all visitation in the hospital because of the flu epidemic.
Well, my doctor's office closed yesterday, and that's a first. She didn't have any staff. It's bad. It really is, especially on the east side. Now, maybe on the west side, you guys hadn't got bit, and I hope you don't.
Well, I've noticed some people walking around in the stores with masks on. Maybe that's what they're trying to prevent against.
I've seen a few people like that here locally, yep, with the mask. But I try to stay far away from people in the store.
Duncan, what's up, brother?
Hey, it was shopping day today.
Yeah? Well, did you get anything interesting? Or?
No, I was going to the checkout line, the checker. Tell me, I will have a good new year. And then I was looking at this young gal bagger. And I said, at least I don't have to fight in another war again. And she just had this stare at me like, huh?
She'll get it. Hopefully not, but she'll get it.
Well, that's the one thing. I don't think out of all of this, there's no way that Donald Trump would ever call for an institution of the draft.
You don't think it'll escalate to that point?
I forgot to say my story. I've got my veteran's hat on. It says U.S. Air Force Vietnam veteran. So most everybody sees the hat and knows.
Now, but if there was a draft now, the maggots would go wild because they like to cheer for war. They don't like to participate in them.
Well, Bob, the participation is for the melanin enhanced and the wealth challenged.
Exactly. That's why our wars are fought by kids from the hood.
Draft number.
Yeah, our wars are fought by kids from the holler, the hood, and the barrio.
I can tell you the only recruitment, although I've seen one, it's in a decent area, but generally speaking, the recruitment centers in New York are in Harlem. That's where I've seen them.
Well, I mean, where do you want them to be, Westchester?
True. And you know what? A couple times I've seen recruiters in the subway, and I almost walked up to them and handed them copies of Smedley Butler's book.
The War's a Racket.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that actually might even be some sort of crime to stand in the way of, that recruitment.
Hell, we got to... We got a recruitment center in my little town, and it's in a little strip mall.
There's kind of like a counterpart to that from Mark Twain. It's a really good read, too.
You mean The War Prayer?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I might have to do a dramatic reading of that soon.
Yeah. You know, as pissed off as I get all the time, I am a pacifist. I don't know if I told you, I'm reading a book on and off, and it's a German journalist wrote it. And what he did was he actually interviewed German soldiers who are fighting at the D-Day invasion, and they were in the little pillbox bunkers up on top of the cliffs. And he interviewed one person from each beach, and he would talk to them. And one of the stories one of the people told was when the boat, you know, when the troop carriers. Landed on the beach and the door opened, they were sitting ducks. They could just mow these people down. And the only way that the Allies got onto the beach was they had so many people that the Germans couldn't kill. So these soldiers were basically cannon fodder, and there were so many of them. And that was basically, I guess that was the strategy. And they talk in there about phosphorus bombs being used for the first time. I guess the Allies dropped phosphorus bombs on the bunkers. And there was a story in there. One of the Germans or the journalists, I don't remember. One of the soldiers or the journalists recalled an incident in World War I where, you know, it was all the trench warfare where a group or a division, I don't know what the term is, of British soldiers had tried to charge towards the German line, and the Germans stayed in the
trenches.
Yeah, the trenches, and just mowed them down. And at one point the German soldiers stopped and said, "Go back, because you're going to get mowed down." And that scene just, that hit me, and it hit me hard, and that just,
you know. Well, see, Steve, we're operating on a bullshit theory right now. You know, the Nitwit Nero regime is, they think they can missile their way to peace and prosperity.
Victory.
There's no basement to the disgusting. There's no basement to the disgusting conduct of these boot licks and lick spittles and turd polishers. People like Lindsey Graham. He was joking on Twitter today, making light of slaughtering of the United States slaughtering civilians. On Twitter, he said, "I appreciate President Donald Trump's bold action against Iranian aggression. To the Iranian government, if you want more, you'll get more." Doesn't he just sound so butch? If Iranian aggression continues and I worked at an Iranian oil refinery, I would think about a new career. So he's saying that he would countenance, and this fucker was a commissioned officer in the Air Force Reserves. He's saying he approves of killing civilians. That's who Lindsey Graham goddamn is.
Yeah, well, he's in the JAG force too.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I know. I mean, it wasn't like he was a fighter pilot or anything. But I don't care who you are in the military. The idea of waging war against civilians is against every rule of so-called civilized warfare, which is, of course, a contradiction in terms, that exists. And it's it's particularly in violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which he was charged with knowing.
I was just, that's what I was thinking about him being a lawyer. And the other thing, too, is if I'm not mistaken, and Sparky can tell me if I'm wrong, or whoever, as I recall, the UCMJ actually incorporates the Geneva Conventions into the code. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong.
I don't think so.
It was a long time ago I got that training.
Well, it obviously stuck because you are a very grounded, intelligent, wise man.
There's a few times I wish I wasn't grounded.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, there's been times I'm like, I would really
That's a pun because I'm an electrician.
Oh, right. Ha, ha, ha. And in the Air Force. Former in the Air Force.
I was in an aircraft electrical repairman in the Air Force.
You worked on SR-71s, right?
Correct.
You ever see the YF-12A?
Not in a active way. I saw the YF-12 on the Intrepid in New York City.
Cool. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and the Air Force Museum has one there.
I've been there, too.
Oh, cool.
Nice. I got to see the YF-12 over in the presidential hangar.
It used to be they built two brand new hangars and brought all those planes back to right behind where the ones up front are.
Well, if you ever saw the SR-71 that's in the Air Force Museum, I worked on that plane. That individual plane.
That particular aircraft. I'll be damned.
How cool is that, Bob?
Is that the SR-71? What up in the museum in Dayton?
Yeah.
Tail number's 17976.
How cool. Well,
I worked on it in Okinawa in 1972.
Nice. Tracy's killing me, man. She's posted pictures of gumbo and chocolate rum cake.
Oh man, I've seen those already. I mean, enough to make it bark at the moon.
That's just not fair, man. She can't talk because she's at Universal Studios. All right, well, thanks for posting the pictures, Tracy. Everything looks delicious, hon. Jesus.
And I'm still wiping out the last of the corned beef, but that's okay. Corned beef on sourdough from Publix works out pretty darn good, especially with good mustard. Oh, and so here we are. We're about 12 minutes from the top of the hour, and we've still got $230 to go, unless something has happened and I didn't see it happen. Let me take a quick peep here.
And while you're doing that, Bob, so you're going to take a sabbatical all next week?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. It's the 13th through the 17th.
Okay.
And there will be no program from the 13th through the 17th. And then probably on the 20th or probably on the 20th or 21st, I may do a Monday program and then head home on Tuesday.
That's a week from Monday then.
Right. A week from Monday. Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah. And so we will,
you will be missed, sir.
Well, I I'll miss this. I mean, I go crazy when I don't have the program, but, with what's going on, well, obviously, it's just impossible to do this on performance week. And next week, I start playing with my stage makeup, and that's going to be a real horror. Maybe I'll do my Henry makeup and fire up the camera but then again, the lighting's not that good in here anyway. But that's part of the whole process.
So after the 17th, let's see, you'll be back home after that weekend, and everything will be back to some semi-normalcy.
Yeah, something like that. Like I said, I'll probably blow out of here on the 21st. So we'll have a program on Monday night, the 20th, and I'll drive home on the 21st.
Couple of days drive,
It's one day. It can all be made in a day, assuming the weather's all right. The big thing I got to worry about.
Don't kill yourself, bro.
That's a 10-hour drive. 12 if I dawdle or traffic's bad or something.
If you get the flu, you'll be down for 3 weeks.
The only real joker in the deck is the weather. And the flu. Stop with the flu.
All right. If you get it, you're going to blame me now.
But no, what I was trying to say, Steve, is that when I get home, there are other issues there because last week the computer that puts the stream out died.
Oh, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
So assuming that, I mean, let's say on Tuesday, the 21st, let's say that I get out of here at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's 5 o'clock in the morning in West Virginia by then. And so, that puts me home maybe at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3, if I just shoot straight through. But then I get through the door, and I've got to start tech stuff. And if I have to, and if it winds up that I have to go out and buy a new damn desktop, that's gonna suck in a large way.
Huge large wieners. You can't use what you're using now.
No,
and move it in or no.
I mean, that's a whole bunch of work too. Yeah. The point is, I can't just go in, hop in the chair, hot up the mic, and do it. Because even this rig takes a while to set up.
Well, maybe it's just a cord or something simple. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Well, I hope so. But, Agnes fired up FaceTime and showed me what it does. And, you know, you power the computer up and it briefly shows you the start screen and then it just and powers back down.
And she's fairly tech savvy too, isn't she?
Well, she's dealt with this stuff for a long time.
Yep. So if she says it's taking a crap, more than likely it's going to take a crap on you. That sucks, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
But we'll see.
Right. But anyway, that's the schedule.
Like you got to fire it up and be pressing F8 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can't even... We did that, Sparky. It won't even boot into BIOS.
No.
Safe mode, none of that shit works, huh?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
It gets power for a minute and then power gone. I don't know if that means it.
Because this computer I'm on right now crashed one time and I was able to bring it back.
Well, it all depends on what I find when I get up
exactly
there.
How.
Would it be cost effective for you to have a Geek Squad dude meet you out there?
No.
They're pretty good, man. I mean,
I'm just 60
miles north of Atlanta. They're everywhere here.
We don't have Geek Squad in West Virginia. Right.
Never mind.
But I can, I might check in with. I'm not sure. I've got to find out, and I have to be there to find out.
We do have some Geek Squad people in the Horn family.
Oh yeah, we do. We do. We got better than Geek Squad in the Horn Family Community Congregation. But I got to be there to do it. I got to be there to take the instructions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
It'll work out, Bob. It'll work out.
If it wasn't for the gremlins, how would we know how awesome everything was if shit didn't break down? And in particular, that computer, since it's the one that runs the 24/7 Horn stream, that computer has been on continuously, with the exception of the occasional Appalachian power outage.
We're out of here.
That computer's been on continuously for over 4 years.
Wow.
So, you will go through them.
And they've got a high demand.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to do much. I mean, just running two 64 kbps streams doesn't put a hell of a lot of demand on the memory or on the CPU, but just the just constantly running. And so when I get home, we'll figure out what it is and hopefully get back to something resembling normal. And then in short order, we'll start the crowdfunding campaign for the Hornian. And the purpose of the crowdfunding campaign, the Hornian will be one of the premiums for it. But the purpose of it will be to do some much needed massive repairs and expand the studio to make it more video friendly. Because, I mean, even the video that I'm doing while I'm here and putting out on Facebook, it's static as hell. It's just me. I mean, I'm looking at me right now, talking into a microphone. And to me, that seems about as interesting as watching paint dry.
Yeah, now, have you crunched any numbers, or do you want to wait till you divulge it?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a whole lot of things all at once. For instance,
okay,
you know, I've got some idea of what expanding the studio would be about. I've talked to a contractor, but the other part of it is to finally achieve a dream and power the horn by the sun. That is, put up solar panels and make the horn solar powered.
Wow. And that is within the next 6 months, if not sooner, or...
Sorry, I was trying to find out who was on the stress line. The crowdfunding campaign is tentatively slated for March because I've got to be able to, we'll have to go and reserve the rooms and know exactly how many people are coming for the horn in and all of that.
Well, that'd be cool to have everything solar powered. Jeez.
Well, it would be. But I mean that's a whole bunch of bucks. But like for the horn in, I figure no more than 50 people. And so that means I got to reserve rooms and pay for them in advance.
Right.
And I've got to do all the menu planning because I'm doing all the cooking. And you know, hire a band, that kind of stuff. I figured
it sounds like it'd be a hoot.
It's going to be.
Yep.
I mean, and hopefully, if we can get 30 to 50 people there, we'll eat real good and we'll see some of the, and people who want to, we can go and wander around in the woods. People who feel hardy enough to do it can hike all the way up to the rim of the gorge and see one of the most beautiful views in West Virginia. You can literally sit on the rim of the gorge with nothing but 876 feet of air between your feet and the river.
But you got to hike. You can't take a horse carriage or anything.
No. It's a hike. It's a hiking trail.
Yeah. Okay.
But there are some other trails that aren't quite so vigorous. That are really enjoyable, and there's a picnic shelter over that has a beautiful view of the New River Gorge and the Gorge Bridge. Maybe we'll do one of the meals there. I don't know. And the reason I've set it for the date that I've planned, namely the first Saturday in June, is because almost without fail, it never rains on that Saturday.
Never rains. Yeah, I remember you saying that. And
right.
For years, and it never does. Now, getting back to this solar thing, if it snows, I'm not talking snow in June, but when it snows, you got to climb up on a roof with a broom and blow all that off?
Not really.
No?
No, because there's a lot of times there's enough residual, because it's pulling down energy from the sun, it keeps it from getting covered up. And the second part of it is, I'm probably not. The second part of it is, I'm probably not going to put it on the roof. I'm going to put it. I'm going to put it on hopefully put it on an array, so that maybe it can even. Maybe it can even be motorized and track the sun.
If you had to.
Yeah, maybe it can even be motorized and track the sun.
Damn, that'll be cool as hell, man. You'll be a trendsetter, bro.
I've got a real nice. I think we would still be the only, at least the only independent progressive broadcasting outfit that can say that it is powered by the sun and not by coal fried. Planet killing. Yeah. Well, let me try a quick experiment here, Steve. I've got somebody on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Rudy.
Hey, Rudy, what's up, man?
Just to let you know, first of all, I was a union carpenter, and I was halfway to being certified with the Solyndra solar system. The one from, all the Republicans, they always slam Obama about Solyndra, the $500 million loss.
Right, yeah.
It's not a loss. That system is fantastic. I think it was 37% efficient with the solar rate. It's incredibly great. And now the Chinese have the patent. It's way better than photovoltaic. Just the way, like I say, I was halfway to getting my certification. But I got a couple of questions. I've been out here in Arizona for 25 years.
Okay.
Every New Year's, boom, I mean, all around this whole neighborhood. I hear the 12 gauges and the 22s and the AR-15s and the 308s. It was always, every midnight, it was just a war zone. This year, crickets. I heard a couple of weapons, somewhere off in the distance. Nobody shot their gun. And I can't help but wonder if it's not, we don't want to let anyone know we got them. Because they're still here. Nobody's moved. And,
they can't afford to waste the ammo.
No, I think it was more like don't let anyone know we got our guns, because when we start this next civil war.
Oh, jeez, I know.
But for the longest time, it was easier. Like just it would go on for minutes. You just follow it, but people wouldn't. Anyway, I was wondering if it happened. If anyone else noticed that, this is my second question.
Yep.
What the fuck is with these Republican fucks with the beards? Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, Trump Jr., all these fuckers have these beards now. Like Old Testament beards. And you notice this? Everyone's got a fucking beard. Ted Cruz, all these fucks are growing their beards. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. And, I mean, I'm growing one for a reason. Over there, I think they think it makes it look more, makes them look more manly.
I think it's biblical, Bob. I think it's part of their biblical shit.
Yeah, probably.
Everybody in Alex Jones, everybody that has that can grow a beard, growing a beard. By the way, this guy's fucking nuts. I tell you, I listen to him all the time because I have to. That's the only thing out here. And this guy's, he's so pathetic. He's a pill salesman, right?
Yeah, you mean you mean Alex Jones?
Yes. I love you, Bob. I wanted to know if anyone had noticed beards. I think I don't know. I'm in this guy's got an afternoon talk show. He's just the ultimate Republican. He says it. Bob, I've been listening to the radio out here for 20 years. Nobody's as smart as me or you. Guy that calls in. These people are fucking stupid. And he's saying that, talking about the Iran, and how they let go of the hostages before the election. I had to call him and say, no, they let go of the Iranian hostages when he was being sworn in, Mossadegh and, he nationalized loyalty. But I'm idealistic, he's just a fucking idiot, and I hate him. And he's just a little weasel fuck, but it's his show, I get two minutes to tell him the way it is. and I'm the nut. Bob, I'm smarter because I got you. Everybody's smarter because we got you.
Thanks, Rudy. That's mighty kind of you to say.
No, thank you for. I never not learned something listening to your show. Not never. Always learn something. And it's amazing the shit you pull out of your ass. I mean, it's like, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah, that's one of the things. Mercifully, that's one of the things that hasn't made it to video yet.
You're amazing. I'm lucky. I got you in my life, and I keep telling people about your show.
Thanks, Rudy.
Remember,
Duncan. I lost everybody, but it seems like I'm hearing you're a little better now.
You're here, Steve.
I can hear you, Steve. But yeah, everybody went silent.
Yeah, I can hear you, Steve.
Yeah,
Steve.
Apparently it's difficult. Apparently it is impossible.
I got a message.
Apparently it is impossible to hear Rudy over on the stress line. The folks in Skype can't hear it, and that kind of
the secret water buffalo hand.
That kind of pisses me off, Rudy. It's good to talk to you, my friend. A happy and healthy new year to you. Okay.
Thanks, buddy. I love you. Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, we were all connected beforehand. It's just that, wait a minute. What have I done? Hey, who have I got?
I'm here.
Oh, is that you, Randy?
Yes.
Okay, well, I've got you, and then I'll reconnect to the Skype group. How you doing?
I'm good. I had a couple things sort of off topic I wanted to get on the air.
Sure.
As far as tips were concerned. But first, I wanted to discuss Christmas dinner at my grandmother's house. She used to serve oysters Rockefeller.
Oh, yummy.
It was oysters baked and broiled in a bed of rock salt, topped with a sort of cream spinach with grated Parmesan and a toasted crushed cracker crumb topping.
Oh, those are special. I've had them.
Yeah. Also, European English taught free tuition, 4-year Bachelor of Arts universities in Europe. English taught for the most part. I don't know if, say, the Roman board has been jacked up to compensate for the free tuition. But it's possible, and people don't know about it, and they could save themselves a whole bunch of grief by not being in debt.
Yeah, all you got to do is get there and be able to meet the admission standards.
That's correct, yeah. And also, I have two elderly parents who are in advanced nursing care. And I'm trying to boost their nutritional content with nutrition standard vitamins and fish oil and stuff like that. I've discovered that some of them can't swallow the horse pills that are regular vitamins.
Yeah, some of the nutritional supplements are huge.
Yeah. So as far as the omega-3s, I just ordered something from Amazon called Wiley's Small Wild Alaskan Fish Oil Caplet. And they're 1/3 the size of normal fish oil. And my mom should be able to negotiate them.
Wiley's,
yeah. It's actually Wiley's Small Wild Alaskan Fish Oil Caplets. You can look them up on Amazon.com.
I'll be darned. Okay. And you're usually pretty thorough in backgrounding this stuff, so you're satisfied with its purity and quality?
I've already ordered two bottles of fish oil, trying to search for the right ones, and neither one of them really met the EHA and DHA, omega-3 requirements.
Yeah, and, yeah. For a while there, you had mentioned, what was the brand you'd mentioned? Nature Made.
That's another brand that's reliable, but they don't have the tiny little fish oil caplet.
Okay, and for fending off like
I'm not a doctor.
No. I understand that, but when you have experience of this stuff. What was the combination for fending off like seasonal affective disorder, the light thing? Fish oil and what?
Fish oil and vitamin D3 from Nature Made.
Well, it seems like the older I get, the more I seem to be affected by that. So I need to go out and find some.
Vitamin D3 is generated by sunlight on the skin, and we don't get that in the winter months for the most part. So that's part of it. You don't get any skin-generated vitamin D3, at least for the Caucasians.
Yeah, and in my case, I had mentioned the idea of putting grow lights in the fixtures at home, and somebody wrote in and said, "No, don't do that. You'll be all kinds of burned up."
All right. So the second thing you want to get into the elderly are multivitamins for seniors, and again, those are horse pills, the standard ones. So a lot of people turn to the low-sugar Ensure and Boost, and some people claim that stuff can be nasty because, you know, the elderly can drink the low-sugar Ensure and Boost. But that's got maltodextrin in it, apparently.
Which is the dry version of high-fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, yeah. And so look at the ingredients, and you'll find out that stuff's nasty. So you may want to turn to Centrum Gummy multivitamin for seniors. They can chew the gummies.
Have you tried them yourself?
I have not. They're fruit flavored, and apparently they. My mom reports who's taking them that they've improved on the flavor of them.
Yeah, because I remember the hateful chemical taste of the old Flintstones and Chalks and Bugs Bunny. Chewable kids' vitamins.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't look into kids' vitamins, but this is supposedly formulated for seniors. Centrum Gummy Multivitamin for Seniors.
Well, that's very helpful because I know you're not alone in the community in helping to look after elderly parents.
So if I can get the fish oil endurer and I can get the gummy multivitamins in for seniors endurer, I hope she'll improve somewhat. And another one of these are horse pills. So and please email me the CBD brand you're taking. But I have heard that these CBD oil brand things have traces of THC from the manufacturing and may make you test positive.
That is true. For instance, Tracy can't use it. Tracy said, you know, she'd benefit greatly from it, but it would make her pee dirty for her job, and you know, she has to be tested because she's a common carrier.
Okay, right, yeah. Anyway, so if you get an auto accident, you may be in trouble because they may blood test you for, you know.
Well, they generally only do that if you've given them sufficient cause.
Okay, all right. So with the vitamin D3 Nature Made, you can get it at any drugstore.
Okay.
And they're small little pills.
Right, right.
Maybe you should take one every other day. You don't want to overdose you should take the fish oil every day, but you should take the D3 possibly one every other day.
I'm going to look for some of the D3 while I'm out. And the stuff that I'm using, our friend Barkway asked me about it last night on Twitter. You can get it I bought it at a little shop here in town, but you can get it online at cbdliving.com.
Okay, all right.
And it seems to be pretty decent quality.
Yeah.
Because I have significant pain in my cervical spine from where the discs are pretty well dissolved.
Yeah.
And I put that stuff on, I've taken to putting it on every morning, noon, and night, and I've got surprisingly good pain-free range of motion now.
Yeah, you wonder what else is in it, though,
Well, I mean, they've got an ingredients list. They'll tell you right there.
Okay, all right. Of course, all this stuff is not regulated, really, by the FDA.
No, it's not, but I think there is, that's one of the reasons I went with this stuff. It's made in California, and I think there are more stringent procedures there because they've been at it longer.
Well, I didn't want to tie up your program, but I wanted to get in those three or four points.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
CBDliving.com?
Yeah, CBDliving.com. And okay, they've got like a mentholated freeze rollerball stuff that I use, and then they've got like They call it a daily lotion, and it comes in plain lavender and eucalyptus, and the plane had just a little bit of a weed smell to it, so I took a powder on that and went with the eucalyptus.
Okay, well, I need probably to get that for my brother who's had back problems and stuff. Yeah,
he might benefit from it. It's been great on my neck.
And it's legal. It's supposedly legal in all 50 states unless you get drug tested, right?
But for instance. Because like drug sniffing dogs and things like that, will alert on it. It's best not to try to transport it through airports.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sort of de facto legal.
Right. Yeah.
I think if the DEA had its way, they'd probably shut it down, but they haven't done it yet.
Well, someone got busted down in Walt Disney World or whatever for carrying this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so you do still have to be careful.
Okay, which, very good.
It just seems silly. Go ahead.
I thought these points were sort of important to broadcast. So, like, I will.
Oh yeah, it's all very helpful. I'm glad you chimed in.
I will sign off and let other callers get on the line.
All right, thanks, Randy. You have yourself a good night, my friend.
All right, bye bye.
All right, bye now. That's Randy. Calling from PA, and I'm gonna get some for Agnes too. I take my fish oil every day for cholesterol reasons and stuff, but maybe adding some D3 would be a good idea. Now let me get the Skype group back in. That's weird about it, because people on the Bluetooth phone are supposed to be able to be heard on Skype and vice versa. More tech fun to deal with. And while I wait for the reconnection, maybe resume call will get the job done. There we go. Just a reminder, we've still got, we're about done with the program for the evening because I do have to bug out of here a little early. But we've got $230 to go to finish the week. It would be great if we could finish at least the $30 part so that we've got everything but today taken care of. Let me look here. Maybe I missed it. Oh, wow. Thank you very, very kindly. I don't know if that's anonymous or not. But thank you very, very much indeed to the individual, and you know who you are, who just took us down to only $40 to go. No, $30. Only $30 to go. To finish the evening. Thank you so very much. And I will. All right. You've been removed from the call. Let's try this again. Okay, my mic is not muted. All right, good deal. Thank you again for jumping in and let me know if I can announce your name, and I will. Thank you.
The flu.
All right, we're back, yes, I think.
Joe's sick, too.
Steve's still talking about the flu.
And, we have formed our own irregular band for the horn-in, Bob.
I'm sorry, what?
We have formed our own irregular horn band for the horn-in.
One of the things I was thinking is maybe an evening of karaoke would be a blast. And so thank you to Kelly. Yeah, thank you to Kelly up in West Virginia for knocking down a half a show on me for this evening. So we're done with all but $30. That is tremendous. And now it's just $20 because James in Illinois jumped in. I can't thank you all enough. Thank you so much. Because that means all we got to do is worry about next week and not the rest of this week. So who's going to play what, Rick?
You're playing the drums, man.
I am?
Yeah, you're a drummer. Steve's a guitarist. Is it Chris that's doing piano? Who's doing piano? Who's doing piano?
I'm singing.
Joe. Joe's doing piano.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing along with Chris.
You sound like your voice is a little rough, Rick.
Yeah.
He's got the flu, damn it.
He's got 6 months to fix his voice. He should be all right.
Put your ass on the call often, Bob. You know what's going on.
That damn cat.
It's not about the cat.
No, it wasn't their fault.
Oh, no.
It was my girlfriend's son. He came and celebrated Christmas with us on Saturday the 28th.
He and his little viral friends.
And he was sick.
I bet he had the cat.
I cough and then quickly
enough
goes into
the pussy,
fever.
Steve.
Chills. What's that?
I told Steve enough about the pussy already.
Oh, there you go. Right.
It sounds like fun, and like I said, maybe some karaoke or a bluegrass band. There really is a lot to do up there. And of course, remember, Tracy will be parking Jan in one of the local gambling dens.
Well, I'll be there with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you? Remember, there's no table games. It's all just the video.
How are you going to sing and gamble at the same time, man?
At the same time. Alternate time.
He'll multitask.
He'll fold space.
No, he's not a third stage guild navigator like you, Sparky.
Duncan's going to sing baritone.
It'll be
I can't fall space to West Virginia.
No, so. I know. And I can play the radio. No, all kidding aside, maybe Ferg will feel up to sitting and noodling a little bit. That would be cool.
He's an excellent musician. Yeah.
He is when he wants to be.
Ferg
can
pull it off by himself, you know. He could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's great potential here, and again, we'll be wanting, somewhere between 30 and 50 people. And
how does everyone feel about like a crawfish boil?
No, there will be no crawfish.
No,
that ain't crawdad country. I mean, okay. It is, but there's just not enough of them. No, we'll be doing, probably chicken and pork and, beef brisket and things like that. And, I'm thinking maybe one morning, since I've ballyhooed about it, we'll have to have biscuits and dirty gravy, and maybe some hog jowl.
Tracy's going to make some crawfish gumbo. It'll be all right.
Yeah, but the crawfish all comes from like Vietnam. It's frozen in the store.
Oh man,
gross!
It's not good LSU crawfish.
No, these aren't Louisiana mud bugs.
I'll be damned. Best laid plans, right?
That's a big story with the LSU football coaching, and Joe Burrow taught him how to eat crawfish.
Yeah, because Joe Burrow's not from down there.
No, he's from Ohio.
Bite the head, suck the juice. I mean, there's nothing really very hard about it.
Bite the head, yeah.
Bite the head, suck the juice, peel the tail. There you go.
I always thought, I love shrimp and I like lobster. I always thought crawfish had kind of a dirt taste to them, though.
Depends on if you burp them or not.
Burp them?
Yes. You put them in a tub full of water, depending, if you got 4 gallons of water, you use 2 cups of salt. Any kind of salt will do. Let them swim around and burp all that crap out. Then you cook them.
Oh.
And that'll get rid of any of that grit or any of that dirt taste.
How about that? Well, I'll remember that. But you got to you got to start with them live, though, right?
Yes, sir. So the
frozen ones in Wally World that died in Vietnam. They're not going to burp.
Jesus, yeah, they're not going to burp.
They were hanging out with John McCain.
Yeah, that didn't quite come out right. I realized that.
Plus, you know, CPR. Crawfish CPR.
Shorty in L.A. says, I'm a bass player. I used to play tenor sax, too, but can I please just play the kazoo? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to play the cowbell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the cowbell, of course.
More got to have more cowbell.
Oh, and thanks to Renee in D.C. Thank you, Renee. We are now down to $5. And so that's awesome. For all intents and purposes, we're done with the week. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, James. Thank you, Kelly. And thanks to Rico and to Berg for the challenge. Thank you, Steve, and little Cletus, and little Twiggy, and Miss Karen. And thank you, Yuki. Thanks, everybody who's jumped in this week. Robert in Australia says, and this is one of the more interesting subject lines I've seen in a while. Robert in Australia says, I love sick people. When I was still working in office blocks, there was always a couple of, if I don't come to work when I'm sick, the company will collapse types. And what did they accomplish? Thanks to air conditioning, everyone who breathed the same recycled air-conditioned air, now full of germs, got sick too. So by the time our hero was better, everyone else was sick. Look at that. I'm the only one here. If not for me, this place would fall apart.
Speaking of Australia, a bunch of U.S. firefighters just got landed there.
Yeah, it's on fire.
I tell you, I love this clip. Some folks greeted their coal-loving prime minister in Cobargo on the New South Wales coast. And it didn't go so well for Scott Morrison. Once again, the Skype crowd will not be able to hear this, but everybody else will. This is beautiful.
I'm only shaking your hand if you give more funding to our RFS. So many people here have lost their homes.
We need more. And she's telling how many people have lost their homes.
We can hear it, Bob.
Oh, you can hear it? That's awesome. Yay.
Yep. Yes, sir. Heard loud and clear.
All right, let's try this again. Let's try this other clip. That seemed really low for me.
Yeah.
Well, it's down under.
Ah. Really lame cowbell for Joe there.
Of gold, Mr. Prime Minister?
Nah, you're an idiot, Mike.
No liberal votes. You're out here, buddy. You're out. Give credit to Scott Morrison for at least going out among the hoi polloi. No one would be allowed to say that to the God Emperor here. Oh no, never, never perish the thought. So, as it stands, we're about 30 minutes away from the usual 3 hours, but I'm going to close things up now. Of course, the conversation can continue if you want to participate. Jump on in via the link on headon.live, but I'm gonna close out the program, get the program uploaded, and head on down to the theater and get to rehearsal. Thanks everybody for jumping in. It's been a great conversation, y'all.
All right, Bob. Before we do zero.
Good luck on the way, Bob.
Enjoy yourself, brother.
Take care, sure, Bob. We'll try.
And Silent R. Lamar said, "Can I get a shout out for coming out of the mist?" Good to see you, Silent R. Good to see you indeed, my friend. So thanks to everybody for participating in the front porch conversation there in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air through your kind contributions, whether as a subscriber or as either at Patreon or PayPal. Thank you very kindly. Or as an a la carte contributor, thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging with the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky in the old holler tree there in the Skype group. Thanks. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back on Monday. Later.